maturity in your life. And today we're going to be concluding with Isaiah chapter 59. We may even transition over into our next portion where we're going to be studying over in Isaiah chapter 61. We'll just have to see how things go. But we definitely will be finishing up with chapter 59 today. So if you do not have a church home, we'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we've had a number of listeners who have come and visited, and for that we're very thankful. And I just wanted to declare to you that God continues to prove himself faithful to Merit Assembly of God day by day, week by week, month by month, and year after year, decades now, almost three decades, and God has proven faithful time and time again. And I just want you to know, you cannot outgive God. We have had some people that attended the church nearly 30 years ago when I was first coming to pastor the church, and they moved away and just received a blessing in the mail here a few weeks ago from them, because the time that they had at Merit Assembly of God, even though it was only a couple of years, it was a meaningful season in their life, and God laid the church on their heart. We've had people that have never even attended a service at Merit Assembly of God that have blessed the church through the years. And I'm telling you, God is our source, and he is our provider. And so we look to him, and we thank God for his provision and for the fact that he uses people. So I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 18. Just going to read this to set the context for you. And it says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury. This is verse 18. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. So we have been talking about seeking justice. We have talked about that there, in verse number 4, there was no one calling for justice, that there was no one pleading for truth. We've talked about the observation that there was no justice in their ways. We've talked about in verse number 9 that justice was far from them. We have gone on and talked about verse number 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. The truth has fallen in the streets. There was no justice in verse number 15. And then God steps up to the plate, and we have seen that he enforces justice. That when no one else is pleading the cause of justice, when no one else is implementing justice or applying a just standard, that God steps up and says, I'm going to do it myself. And so he says that he does all of this so that the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So I want you to know, this is not just a military enemy. This is a spiritual enemy. This is an enemy of justice. And God says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Verse number 21 talks about what happens by God, what God does as a result of this. And it says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth. So he says, I'm going to, in my justice, establish a covenant. Now, you've got to remember, a covenant is not like a contract where each party is looking to give as little as they can, and they are looking to reap as much as they can, and they're looking to penalize the other person if they violate the terms of the contract. A covenant says we are all in. We are all in. That from this point forward, everything that one party has belongs to the other party, and everything that the other party has belongs to the first party. And we have made a covenant with God where we have put in less than he has, and we reap greater benefits because of his unlimited capacity. And God looked at that first covenant, that Mosaic covenant, and he said, you all are never going to be able to live up to this. And so he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my spirit. I'm going to establish my covenant with you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to establish my covenant. My spirit who is upon you shall not depart from your mouth. Okay? You say, well, there's another phrase in there. That's true. Both of them are meant to be continual residents in our life. My spirit who is upon you, and here's the key word, and my words which I have put in your mouth. There are a lot of people who know the word, but they do not proclaim the word with love. They do not speak the truth in love. They do not proclaim the word with the same spirit in which God dictated the word or proclaimed the word. And so he says, I'm not just going to give you one. I'm not just going to give you the other. I'm going to give you both my spirit and my word. My spirit and my word. Jesus is the word of God. And the Holy Spirit comes and makes that word understandable. It is a quickened word. It is an empowered word. The scripture says that the word of God is spirit, and it is spiritually discerned. You need both aspects. Okay? You cannot just sit down and study the word with your mind and understand things that only God applies by his spirit. I've told you the story of when we first came to Florida, and we only had one vehicle, and so my wife would take me to work. Then she would come back. She would drop the car off. She would work, and then I would take our son home, and then I would come back when the store was closing, and that's how we functioned with one car. She was the stock person. And what happened in that situation was a lot of times they wouldn't be ready to leave the store until, or I'd already been in the parking lot for a while. And so I would listen to this one guy, and it was a talk radio station. I don't remember what the name of the guy was, but he made this statement. He said, I read the Bible once, and I didn't understand it, so I never read it again. And I'm sitting there. You've got to understand, everything that I listen to, I filter through the Word of God. I filter it through the Spirit. I want to understand what is going on. And I was like, you are missing. You're never going to be able to study it from a soul or mind aspect about it. You're not going to be able to study it like a textbook and get the life out of it that God wants you to. You might glean a few things here or there, but if you're studying it from a critical spirit, all you're going to do is find more things to criticize. But if you realize that the Word of God is life, and you go and expect for life to come out of there, you're going to get life. So he says that because of everything, because God intervenes in an unjust society where no one was proclaiming biblical justice and no one was demanding biblical justice, and there was no manifestation of it going on anyplace in society until God steps up and says, I tell you what, by my Spirit, I'm just going to come and I am going to, like a flood, sweep through some things. Here a few weeks ago, we had a torrential downpour. My siblings and my dad, we have this group text going on, and I said, hey, I've got good news. Our gullies are clean. And they was like, what in the world are you talking about? I said, well, we just had a real gully washer. I mean, that's a country expression, means that we just had a serious, serious rain. And, you know, it was all because of what came down that cleansed all of the impurities out of the way. I want you to know that's what the Spirit does. God sweeps away all of that injustice, all of the inequity, all of the iniquity. And he says, I'm now going to create a covenant with you where it's not just the Ten Commandments, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to place my Spirit within you. I'm going to implant my words in you, and those things are meant to come out of your mouth, and they are meant to continue to come out of your mouth. They're never meant to stop coming out of your mouth. Not only your mouth, but I am going to create a covenant with you that says that it is going to endure not only for your lifetime, but it's going to endure for your children's lifetime. And I don't know too many parents here in America anyway. I've heard other parts of the world that they don't have this mindset, but I don't know too many parents here in America who don't want their kids to have a better life than what they had. And so they do all these things thinking that by giving them more toys and by giving them more possessions and giving them more technology, that that's setting them up for a better life. And in actuality, what it does is it creates a sense of entitlement where a lot of people don't even know how to work for anything. They don't appreciate anything. And as soon as a problem arises, they don't know how to respond to adversity. But what God says is, when you walk in covenant with me, that your life is going to be better and your children's lives are going to be better. Now, that is a great reason to be in church. That is a great reason to study the Word of God. That is a great reason to proclaim the Word of God with the same spirit that it came from heaven. You need to be studying it. You need to be understanding it. You need to be living it. You need to be proclaiming it. And he says, as a result of that, your kids are going to want to do the same thing. And he says, but it's not going to stop there. I'm going to continue to do that for your grandchildren. Now, that's a great thing. You know, being a parent has been fun, but let me tell you something. Being a parent, I found that the bank of dad functioned a lot. And there were a lot of withdrawals from the bank of dad. There weren't necessarily a whole lot of deposits in the bank of dad from time to time. And so there were times when the bank of dad would not have passed the financial stress test that other banking institutions would go through. But being a grandparent, now I tell you, that's a great blessing. And you get to watch them, and you you hope and pray that your kids learned some things from you about the Spirit of God and about the Word of God, and now they are proclaiming those to their kids, and I'm thankful mine are. And so I look at my kids, and I fully expect them to walk in covenant with God, to walk empowered by the Spirit of God and proclaiming the Word of God and praising God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But wait, there's more. It doesn't say that it stops with you. It doesn't say it stops with your kids. It doesn't say that it stops with your grandkids. It says, nor from the mouth of your descendants, those would be your grandkids, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Now, let's focus for just a minute on the forevermore. Okay? There's a passage that talks about the blessings of God shall continue to 1,000 generations. That's a lot of generations. That's longer than history can record right now. You, when you're walking in covenant with God, you can walk in confidence and expectation that God is going to bless your generations farther than you're ever going to live to see. Okay? That's a great thing. But I want to point out something else from this passage as we're wrapping this up. And it says this, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. I want to talk to you today for just a minute about what if you haven't been living the life you were supposed to be? What if you've not been empowered by the Spirit? What if you've not been living a just and righteous and holy life? What if you've not been living with Jesus as your Savior? Well, then you don't have those promises that you can count on yet. But you can start right now. You see, this promise of God says, from this time. Today could be your time. Today could be a pivotal moment in the life of your family, in the life of your grandchildren. So I was at a funeral earlier this year where a son stepped up and said, I am so thankful that my dad made a decision for Jesus when he was just a teenager that changed the trajectory of this family spiritually and financially. Today could be your day. This could be your time right now. And some people are going to be saying, well, if today could be, then I could push it off till tomorrow. Well, you know, the thing is right now, there's a whole lot of people that over the last few years thought that they had all the time in the world, only to find out they didn't have any time left at all. So I want to implore you, do not procrastinate. Do not waste the opportunity, but continue to press in and say, God, let's change things right now. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God, I want to ask you for your mercy. I want to ask you for your grace. And I'm thankful that you are a just and holy and righteous God who's made a way for me to be reconciled. And God, I want to ask you to help me by your word and by your Spirit to live a just and holy life that is going to bless my family, my neighbors, my coworkers, my church, and my community forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time and you wandered from the path, would you mind, you know, sending an email to meritassembly@hotmail.com, MERRITTASSEMBLY. If so, we've got a little booklet that we can send out to you that could help you grow in your relationship with God. But mainly, we just want to rejoice with you for improving your family's future. Improving yourself spiritually will do more to improve your family in the future than any other arena of improvement in your life. Because when you improve spiritually, all those other areas are going to improve as well. So let's go over to Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, since we're talking about the Spirit of God. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the son of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. For burnt offering, I will direct their work in truth. I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed." The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus said that when he emerged from the wilderness temptations, and he went to the synagogue, and they handed him the scroll, and he opened it up, and he read this passage, and he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, I'm very thankful for that. I want to encourage you, because we are a Pentecostal church. I told our church several weeks ago, I said, you know, I've had a lot of conflicting reports through the years. I've had people say that we were too quiet and we were too loud, back-to-back conversations, same day, just a few seconds apart. I've had people say that the sanctuary is too cold, at the same time another person was saying it is too hot. I have had people say that we are too young and had them say that we were too old. Right now we're probably leaning a little, a lot heavy on the old side. I've even had people say that we were too large and too small. The too large I didn't get, the too small I understood, but it's like, really, you think this is too big? That was several years ago, but a couple of years ago, I had two people that said this almost at the same time. "Pastor, we're leaving because the church is too Pentecostal. Pastor, we're leaving because the church is not Pentecostal enough." I want to encourage you that we are a Pentecostal church theologically and practically, but we don't encourage people to have a Pentecostal experience that leaves them without a Pentecostal purpose that requires Pentecostal power. Okay? We want everyone to experience the Spirit of the Lord being upon them, because he guides you into all truth. He opens your eyes. He causes you to discern the things that are going on. He can give you insight, wisdom, and knowledge and discretion that you will never get through any other source other than the Spirit of God. But when he does that, he has purpose. The purpose here, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. You see, that if everybody doesn't get an opportunity to hear the gospel, it is an unjust application of a very just message, and it's not God's fault. I'll just say that right now. It's not God's fault. Somebody may have made a decision to deprive their children of that. Other people may have disobeyed and not went when God told them to go. But God wants everybody to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. God wants everybody that has a broken heart the opportunity to experience Jesus and have that broken heart heal. For all of the spiritual captives to experience liberty. There is a whole lot of people that need the church in 2021 to rise up with the Spirit of the Lord upon them for a Pentecostal purpose of making Jesus known. Because Jesus is the answer to people who have not heard the good news. Jesus is the answer for people who need emotional healing and physical healing. He is the one who sets the captives free. You and I, we need to say, God, I know you have a purpose for me. Would you help me? Would you equip me so that I can serve you well and bring you glory and honor, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and it's upon me. We'll see you next time right here on
Thank Refresh. You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Come on, the highest praise, who has the name?